This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila. So after years of being rejected, a group of Malaysian mothers married to foreign spouses have finally been able to start the process of registering their overseas-born children as Malaysian citizens. So we're checking in with them. Now, just to take you back, this began really this began in December last year when six Malaysian mothers filed a legal action against the government, and they sought a declaration that Malaysian women with foreign spouses should be able to automatically pass on citizenship status to their overseas-born children. Now, and this is the important point here, Malaysian fathers have already been granted the right to do so. So it's worth saying here that they're not asking for something that isn't already existing. And in September this year, the High Court in Kuala Lumpur issued a decision to allow children born outside of Malaysia to Malaysian mothers to be automatically granted citizenship in Malaysia. That brings us to today, or rather yesterday, when this group of Malaysian mothers were finally able to start that process of getting their children's citizenship confirmation certification. And according to Suri Kemper, who's president of Family Frontiers, JPN has told the mothers that their children's citizenship confirmation certs will be issued within 3 months, and they'll be recognized as Malaysian citizens, and the mothers can then use those certificates to get their children's ICs. Suri also said that the remaining mothers who are part of the lawsuit had been notified to go to their nearest embassy or JPN office to begin the process as well. So, happy news, really, and definitely something worth celebrating, a hard-won battle at that. It is worth saying, though, that the government, the Home Minister and the JPN's Director General are appealing against that High Court decision, and that's scheduled to be heard in March next year. And Suri, as well as a number of other parties, have demanded that the government withdraw its appeal. So that's where we're at. So we thought we'd check in with the group, see how they're doing and how they plan to take this forward. But we would like to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Chi Yok Ling, Executive Committee Member and Lawyer at Family Frontiers. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:11. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila. And we're talking about a hard-fought battle. A group of Malaysian mothers who are married to foreign spouses have finally started the process of registering their overseas-born children as Malaysian citizens. So we're checking in with them. We'd like to hear from you. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Now joining us to talk us through what happened and how they're feeling is Chi Yok Ling, Executive Committee Member and lawyer from Family Frontiers. Yok Ling, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sharmila. Good to join you.
So before we get into the details, how are you feeling now that that process for citizenship has finally started for these children?
Utter relief. You have no idea. Utter relief. But we're not fully at home, you know, yet. But it's great.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that in a bit. But it's taken a year to get here, but arguably it's taken much longer because people have been talking about this for ages. Mm-hmm. Could you walk us through how you managed to get to this point?
Right. I mean, first of all, we're talking about a fundamental discrimination against women, right? Not being able to pass on our citizenship automatically if our kids are born overseas and our husbands are not Malaysians. So this has been worked into the constitution since 1957 when we got independent. So we're talking about more than 60 years where women did not have this right. And of course, you know, as more and more women began to go overseas to study, to work, including Malaysian government servants who are sent, you know, onto assignments overseas. And for various reasons, we end up marrying non-Malaysians and we have our families. And most of us never really thought about this issue because we you know, there are only 25 countries left in the world with this discrimination. So but it really was around maybe 2009 when the Foreign Spouse Support Group really was set up by a wonderful woman, Bina, who is coordinating our work today. Bina herself is a foreign spouse. And so she started her work, you know, looking at how, you know, if you're a foreign spouse, even as a woman married to a Malaysian man, you know, there's so many restrictions and discrimination. And then she realized as she was working through that Malaysian children had this really big problem. So around 2015, the Foreign Spouse Support Group took on the issue of equal citizenship rights. So in terms of a coordinated, you know, campaign and raising awareness within Malaysia, it was really around 2015. And then Family Frontiers, which is the society that was one of the members that took the case to court, was established, you know, just 2 years ago, under 2 years ago, to take on this in a more systematic way. And that's how I got involved myself.
What are the responses that you've been hearing from the families involved?
Well, you know, it's like I say, it's a long battle. And you know, when we finally decided to go to court, and basically the court case is about asking the courts to interpret the Constitution. And I think people need to understand that it is really a public interest case. Six of the mothers involved and Family Frontiers as a society wanted the courts to just look at the Constitution, where we have equal rights, no discrimination against us based on gender. It's in our Constitution. And then we have this archaic provision about so-called father only being able to pass citizenship automatically. So having this, taking it to court was really to seek a remedy, you know, from the courts, because we couldn't find any other remedy through the executive part of government. So for the mothers who have been waiting for years and then trying another route to apply, where the chances of success was like about 1% success rate to apply for citizenship, right? So finally, we said, look, let's try this, because it's our right. We should get that. So we work together. We share our stories. Giving support to each other has been so important. And so when we went to court, it was with trepidation. And, you know, it wasn't easy, because we filed the case back in the late 2020. And already immediately, the Ministry of Home Affairs, well, you know, it's the government of Malaysia, actually took an action to strike out our case, saying that we had no rights to go to court. So we had to fight the battle to even get into the court to have our case listened to. And then when the High Court rejected the striking out, the government appealed to the Court of Appeals. So we had to wait for all that. And finally, we had the hearing. And it was on the 9th of September of this year that the High Court judge gave a decision that was so constitutionally correct, and really upheld the equality of women before the law. And we were elated. You know, the mothers, you can imagine, because the decision was not just about the six mothers, but all mothers in a similar situation anywhere in the world. That is our inherent right for us and our children. So we were extremely happy, but only for 3 days, because the government had appealed against the whole decision. And that will be heard next March in 2022.
If you could talk us through this, because it's been brought up so many times, but mm-hmm. why is this so important to the families? What impact does it have when those children cannot get citizenship?
No, it is. I think people just have no idea how it affects our lives. I mean, I speak from personal experience, because I was working overseas when my daughter was born in Hong Kong, and I was quite aware. And many of us, you know, over the more recent years, are quite aware that, you know, we have this difficulty of no automatic citizenship, you know, for our children if we don't come home. But there's so many reasons why we didn't make it home. Those who can do it, do so. You know, it could be an issue of finance. You know, you can't afford to just come back. You could be working, you have other small children. Or in many cases, the women have very difficult pregnancies and they are not able to travel in those last few months. And then the last 2 years, the pandemic has actually caused all borders to be closed. So even if you wanted to come home, you couldn't, because it meant leaving behind your children, other children and your husband behind, you know, in the other country, and they couldn't come in. So overnight, for example, my children, you know, they are no different from a tourist. You know, so the hardship is once the separation of families, and many of us choose to come back. We want to come back to this country. The whole family wants to contribute to this country. But then you run into all kinds of visa issues, right? And for a lot of small children, you know, the impact on these children, especially sometimes we could have a case where, you know, that family was in Malaysia when some of the siblings were born. So they're automatically Malaysians. But for that one or two overseas, they're not Malaysians. And they cannot understand why they're different from their brothers or sisters. You know, and that really impacts on these children in ways that we haven't even begun to understand. And as we did our coming together, and we did surveys among the families to find out the impact emotionally, physically, financially. It was amazing. And we collected all that data and we brought it to the government to say, you have to do something about this.
Yogling, we have a question from a listener, from a Lewis, who asks, is this court ruling a blanket ruling that allows all local mothers to apply for their overseas-born children for citizenship?
Yeah, well, it is very clear. You know, who are the mothers who are actually vested with this right now, finally recognized, right? These are Malaysian women who are married to non-Malaysians, right? And our children were born overseas. That is the group, right? Now, if I had come home to have my baby, that would have been no question, automatically a Malaysian citizen. It's just the fact that the child was born overseas. Now, fathers are allowed to automatically pass on their citizenship overseas. And the process is very simple to get that recognition of you're not applying for citizenship, you are a citizen. So they go to the Malaysian embassy, they fill up a form, they give four or five documents within the first year of the child's birth, and then you get a confirmation certificate. You just bring your IC. I'm a Malaysian father. That's it. So really what this decision has done in the High Court is to say all mothers, women are treated the same as fathers, and you follow the same process. Just go to the nearest embassy if you're overseas. If you're at home now, go to, you know, Putrajaya or any of the Jabatan Pendaftaran Negara, you know, and do the paperwork.
And yesterday was the first day, right, that a group of you were able to go to JPN.
Yeah.
How was the process? Right. How did it go?
Well, it was very smooth. We had a lot of, you know, facilitated, you know, help from the officers there. And, you know, you will ask yourself why when we got the decision in September, did we only start the process giving the three mothers yesterday, right? And the reason is because the government, after we won the case, as I said earlier on, had appealed, right, to try and overturn the whole court decision. And we have a huge campaign asking the government to withdraw that appeal, right? At the same time, the government also applied to stall the implementation of the court order. So they went to the High Court. High Court said, no, this is very important. Give them these documents. These children have rights. Then the government went to the Court of Appeal and said, we want to have a stay of execution until this whole thing is heard next year. And the Court of Appeal, all three judges listened to the arguments and the situation on both sides and said that there are no special circumstances for us to delay anymore. So go ahead, you have to start issuing all these citizenship papers and IC and cards and et cetera. So the first three mothers who are part of the plaintiff group decided we're going to do this now. And so they went and we had actually, you know, informed the government we are coming. So they helped us. It was smooth. And we hope that the process will be made smooth for all the affected mothers here and also outside the country.
And now that these children are being recognized as Malaysian citizens, what's the next step?
Well, you know, for many of them, including, you know, all three of them actually who were there yesterday, the kids had to go because they had to give thumbprints, you know, for the process. Now, school starts on the 9th of January, right? And you know what this means for them? It means that they can just go to school as any other Malaysian kid, because all this while they had to run around to get a student visa, which you have to renew every year. And then you have to go, if you want to go to a local school, you must go and get permission to see whether there's a space in one of the schools and then go to the Jabatan Pendidikan, you know, the education department. So there's a lot of running around, you make appointments to go and get visas. So all that is just every year with no certainty. So you know what? These kids will go to school on the 9th. We hope. You know why? Because we were told that once you put in all your papers, which they have done, these three mothers, we were told that it will be within 3 months you will get your certificate of citizenship confirmation. We say, why 3 months? Because overseas, if you do it within the first year, you can get it immediately, or 3 days or 4 days. So we are calling on the government, don't take 3 months, just speed up the process. It's very straightforward, because if that same child were born here, you wouldn't even be doing any paperwork. That child would be Malaysian, right?
So we've mentioned this a couple of times. The government is appealing the High Court's decision, and that is scheduled for March 2022. What would be the impact of this on the families if they do win the appeal?
You know, we so far the government has gone to court 6 times to try and stop us in different ways, procedurally, and also, you know, to challenge everything. And 6 times we have won. We feel that this is the right thing to do. We hope that justice will prevail. We are hoping still, we think the easiest way, and the government has announced that it is willing to change its policy, maybe even change, you know, the constitution, but all that will take time. Right now, the law is very clear. As long as the government accepts the judgment of the High Court, that is the law. It has happened before in other constitutional cases. So they can just make life easy for themselves and everybody. So we hope that they will still withdraw. You know, if we win the case, then honestly, all the more reason not to go further. If we lose, we will go to the federal court, because this is too important for us not to go all the way.
And I understand that there have been demands for the government to withdraw that appeal. Could you tell us more?
Well, we started the campaign right after the government appeal. 3 days after we got a judgment in September, they had appealed against the decision. So we immediately launched an appeal. We wrote to the cabinet. We actually met with several ministers who were fully supportive of this. And even, I think, four of them, once the judgment came out in September, they actually made public statements saying they welcomed this decision. You know, even the Sultan of Johor had put on his social media, it's about time. And we met many parliamentarians who said that, you know, it is time this archaic law is taken away, because a fundamental issue is a discrimination issue against women. Simple as that, right? So so we are confident that if that whole mood is to support us, except for, I don't know why, some objections, and the public is so taken aback. I mean, really? We have such a discrimination in our country? People were not aware of that. So, and we have such support from the media, including BFM, of course. You've kept the story alive, and you have kept the stories of the real lived realities in the forefront, because that's what it is about, ultimately, the child and the family. So, you know, we have a government now leading the slogan of Keluarga Malaysia. What more is the most basic idea of Keluarga Malaysia, if not the immediate unit of family? And, you know, many of these children are waiting with the mothers, you know, to come home, because they haven't been able to come into the country. They haven't seen their grandparents, who may be ill, who may be old, you know, for 2 years. They all are waiting to come home.
You've mentioned this a couple of times, right? This struggle has really been also about getting the government to give women and mothers equal rights when it comes to citizenship laws. How do you see this case impacting women and their families in the long run when it comes to issues of gender equality?
Well, you know, I think there are many aspects still where gender equality is not fully implemented in our laws and policies. This is, in a way, the most stark case where it is unacceptable, this discrimination on our children's citizenship rights. And I think that if we win this, and we feel that it is something that the whole society, really as a whole, the majority are supporting us, this will open the door for us to really correct all the different aspects of gender inequality within, and there are many, within the constitution and also in the different laws. And also, you know, Malaysia has pledged, you know, to have to support women's equality and empowerment in the bid to become a member of the Human Rights Council in the United Nations. And we are now a member of that. I think we have to really live the words. And the other 24 countries, they are watching us so closely, because they are also fighting, you know, mothers and activists and human rights groups. There's an international campaign on equal citizenship rights. So we are watching very closely. Our High Court decision was celebrated by so many people around the world, and they're watching very closely.
Yok Ling, we have just about 30 seconds left. What would you like to leave us with?
I would want to leave, a sort of call to all Malaysians. You know, we thank you for the tremendous support. To ask questions when you needed clarification, please continue to support us. Help us. We need more and more signatures in our campaign. Come to our you know, Twitter and our social media for Family Frontiers. We want to get 100,000 signatures and ask the government, withdraw the appeal, save all taxpayers' money. We need money for so many things in this country right now. And let us get on with our family lives. And to call on the JPN to speed up the process, you know, do it in a matter of days, not in 3 months.
Yok Ling, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Shamila.
That was Chi Yok Ling, Executive Committee Member and Lawyer of Family Frontiers, talking to us about the fact that mothers of overseas-born children can finally register them as citizens. Do weigh in. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.